Also mein Name
My name is Mantai. I was born in Magdeburg in 1931. My father was a criminal, a pimp. There were 15 children in our family, but only six survived. One was born every year, but one always died. My father stayed away for weeks. We were hungry. We were cold. My mother went along to the social office and applied for support. My four elder brothers were consequently taken away. My mother became pregnant again, and she never took the baby home with her. It remained in the home. That's my sister, Lisa. I didn't end up in the hands of the youth office. I stayed with my grandparents. I had clothes to wear. I didn't need to run around barefoot because other people had to run around barefoot winter and summer. My grandfather had lung disease. He infected me. I was taken to hospital and was taken away from there by the youth office. My mother wanted to pick me up, but I'd already been taken away. I was then given a guardian. This was the youth office in Magdeburg. I was then taken to a children's home. That was when I was the age of four. I wetted the bed. I had infectious itching all over the body. And this was then transferred to other children as well. At the age of five and a half, I was put into school, made the next grade. But then there was the legislation passed by the Nazis, which then applied to me. In the holidays, as a result, I was taken to a different home. And this worked together with the youth office and with the health office. When my mother asked for assistance, a fire was set up on the Hempers because we were regarded as an inferior family. Therefore, I was put in this children's home. I spent 4 weeks in this home. During that time, one of the assistants took me to Magdeburg by train. The home was near Salzuflen. Near Magdeburg, there was a Dr. Fünfgerd who worked at the hospital in Sudenburg, in Magdeburg. He didn't examine to see whether I was mentally ill, but whether I was Aryan or not. My cranial form was measured, my eyes, my color, how strong my hair was, how light my skin was. My whole bodily structure was measured to see whether I was of Aryan blood or not. And then I came to Ortsspringer, that's in the land of Saxony-Anhalt. That was called a mental home at that stage. I immediately noticed what was going on there. These were handicapped people, mentally handicapped people, and a lot of healthy children were there as well. I met my sister Lisa there, who had never been at home at all. We had a huge dormitory and a small room where we stayed during the day. We had to sit down. There was breakfast, lunch. After lunch, we had to put our heads on the table, and then sheets were spread out over us. Anybody who moved was then hit on the back of the head. The room was closed the whole day. But now you try lying on your elbows on your face like that and without moving yourself. You move, of course, and there we were then thrashed as a result. We were not allowed to leave the room. Opposite was the toilet. That was the only room we were allowed to use. Completely healthy children. So the handicapped children disappeared. And when a transport of children arrived, then emergency beds were put up in the dormitory. They also quickly disappeared. As soon as a child had the slightest defect, it was murdered immediately. Many children had a nervous breakdown. A child sat next to me, started screaming. The door was then opened. A nurse came in. Then there was a straitjacket applied. The child was then taken out. There was one room involved where there was a rubber room. And I heard her screaming, and I'll never forget the rest of my life. And then a man came along, spread out a sheet, and a child was laid on it, and it was then carried out. It was a nasty old man. I didn't want him to touch me, and I didn't want to end that way. I don't want to die, I said. And I thought, okay, what am I going to do? If you stay here, you'll go mad. If I left the room, they were beaten. We weren't allowed to use the toilet. And I said, either I'll go mad or I'll get beaten. So I just went out, took a hold of a broom, and then cleaned the floor every morning. And I was not beaten for doing that. Behind our dormitory, there were babies, completely healthy babies. When they were washed and fed, I helped. Wherever there was any work, I made myself available. Cleaning away the dirty dishes after lunch and fetching the meals, taking away the dirty laundry. We had to move across the premises, and we always accounted this desk man with his trolley. There was two wheels on it and two handles, and there was these bundles of rags. It was about this high, but they were rags of the children. Their corpses were there, tied up and heaped up on this trolley. I spent 2 years in this home, and it was said, your sister's going to be removed. She was transported away one day before her fifth birthday and gassed at the prison in Brandenburg. There were two prisons in Brandenburg. One in Brandenburg Havel was there was a gas chamber set up there, and the other is Brandenburg Görden. 1 week later, it was my turn. We were taken to a different building. There weren't very many children left, only about eight left in this children's ward. We were taken to a different building. There was a stage there, and there were a number of seats in the hall, and the room was full with grandmothers, only women and lots of children. We sat there, and there were a large number of files on the stage, and then we were said, okay, out first the children. So we went out. Outside the door, there were four buses. We got on board the buses, but I can't remember what happened because the bus was full when it arrived in Brandenburg. The bus went into a building, and we had to get out. And I was always first. There was a small corridor. It was about as wide as a door frame, and at the end, the door was open, and there was light in the room, although it was daytime. So I went into the room, and to give the children room, I went in well into the room, and there was a table there. I'll just try and explain what it was like. If this is the room, of course, it was much, much smaller. Then this here was the entrance. On this wall, there was an iron door, and behind that, there was a gas chamber. And then in the corner, there was a table which reached out in the middle of the room. It was placed at an angle. And there were three women were sat, a woman was sat behind it. I stood behind this man, and the children were in right in front of this iron door. And I was stood there on my own. To the left of me, there was the man. There was a Dr. Bunker. He was a medical practitioner until 1985. So I stood behind his back. Then to the right of me, there was this pile of clothes, and next to that, a pile of shoes. Get undressed, hurry up. What we were told to do. I immediately noticed there's something wrong here. I'm not going to get undressed here. So I stood quite still behind this Dr. Bunker. Then they got hold of the childest, the smallest child, tore the clothes off him, took the child by the upper arm, and put it next to the table. So if there's a table here, this is where I was, and I turned my head in this direction towards the iron door and to the pile of clothes. So she stood, held the child by the upper arm, then she turned round, took two or three steps, so that was how small the room was, and this child wanted to run and try to move its legs, but it couldn't move them properly. Then she opened the iron door and hurled the child into the gas chamber. In the meantime, other children had been undressed. She took one child at a time, took it by the back of the neck in front of the table, and then thrust one child after the other into the gas chamber. And I'm still fully dressed, standing between this table and this pile of clothes. I'd been overlooked, and then the woman screamed at me, get undressed, hurry up, otherwise you'll get beaten. I had an awful dress on, but this dress had a large number of buttons on it. And I opened the buttons very, very slowly, one after the other, and I said to myself, I don't want to go into this room behind the iron door. And then I took my dress off, threw it onto the pile of clothes. I, good fortune again, I had shoes that I needed to untie, so undid the laces very slowly and then threw the shoes on the pile of shoes. And when I was completely naked, I was grabbed by Dr. Bunker by my left arm, and then he pulled me round, and I stood naked in front of him, in front of the table. And because I'd worked in the old mental home, I had behind my name on the transport list a question mark. And that was why I was allowed to get dressed again. I was only asked how old I was. 8 years old, I said. What's my name? Elvira Hempel. Get dressed again, I was told. A woman then took me across the courtyard to another building, and then I established that this was a prison, because there was bars in front of the windows. There was a few steps up to the building, the corridor. There was a door which could be open there, but it was normally locked up. And there were two children already there. Three children survived this transport. We embraced as if we really knew what we'd just been spared. We spent 8 days in this prison, completely alone. At night, the cells were locked up and were open during the day. We played sort of things that you would play at that time. There were a lot of potties there at night. They used to be made of an enamel, and they had a rounding at the bottom, and then we used them to play with. We didn't wash ourselves, we didn't comb ourselves, we didn't brush our teeth. And then the woman came along, who brought us the food and said, you're going to be taken away from here. So next day, there was a taxi outside the building. There was a partition between them. We three dirty, filthy children sat behind this partition screen, and in front of there was a chauffeur and a woman from the youth office, and we were taken to Brandenburg Görden. We were taken to school there. We stayed there for 4 months. But at that stage, I didn't know the data. I didn't know what a month was. I only knew what was warm and what was cold, what the season was. And in Brandenburg, we then went for a walk in the woods, of course, not on our own, and not every day either. And there were mushrooms. We had to collect mushrooms. And the federal state of Brandenburg didn't pay to... or Saxony didn't pay to Brandenburg, and therefore we had to go back to Utspringer, and there was there were 8 children who were taken to Eichschabitz by mistake. And the people who were looking after us, the girl looked after us, she was from the welfare home, and she tortured one of the children so badly that it fell ill. And you know what happened to ill children? That child was killed, so there are only 7 left. We then back to Utspringer. But I know in Eichschaubitsch, this was the wood beetles time, so there must have been right about that time of the year, but I couldn't enter the date until after the political turnaround, when I got the documents from that particular period. Then my mother struggled to get us free, or to get me free. I don't know how long I was in Utspringer, but it can't have been that long. I was then taken to another home where women had been previously, and that's where we 7 children were taken. And I came back home. My mother was not allowed to keep me, and my father was with the army, and the welfare officer said to me, Ms. Hempel, if your husband comes back, the same will happen again. You will only get your daughter back once you're divorced. So I was then taken to a children's home in Magdeburg. That was a good time. There were deaconesses from the church. And then I was beaten again by the woman who looked after me there. I couldn't stand her either, but I went to church, went to school for a while there, sorry. And I was beaten by this woman called Kater very frequently, but in the meantime, I was given leave before I was released from Utspringer and went back to Magdeburg. I had a few months holiday, and I knew all the children who lived with my mother and who went to the same class as I did, and I told the children what had happened. And my mother then fetched me from the school, and we went to the youth office the next day. That was the 6th of October 1942, on my 11th birthday, I was released. I spent 7 years going through hell. I saw many, many murders by polishing the floor. I opened all the doors and was able to see how the nurses injected the children, and they were fetched by the death man. I've never been able to come to grips with that throughout the whole of my life. I have very little school education. I'm a victim, and this victimization has not been recognized. I'm fighting, and if it's the last thing I do to get to recompense, I've written a book. This book is called Hempel, a German Child, which was allowed to turn back from the gas chamber in 1942. This is my revolting life that I've written down here. You can buy this book outside the hall. It costs 16 marks 80, and it's 300 pages long. Thank you very much for listening.